The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Boker Tov, Anthony Reich, how are you?
Boker Tov, yeah, fascinating story.
Isn't
about
it amazing?
Albert Bourla, but let's take it even a step further than that. It's not by coincidence that Israel is today leading the world in the number of vaccinations that have been administered to citizens of its country per million of population. Israel's fighting out for first place with Bahrain, which obviously has a relatively small population, so for them it's quite easy to roll it out. But Israel today stands at the top of the list of countries rolling out vaccinations to their citizens, something like 100,000 vaccinations a day now being given to Israelis across the country. And where do these vaccinations come from? And how come it is that Israel has such a large quantity of vaccines available to it? I think we purchased 6 million vaccines from Pfizer.
Yep.
And step up Albert Bourla. Which is no coincidence because Prime Minister Netanyahu has mentioned him personally by name, thanking him for the help that he has given to allow Israel to be able to acquire all these vaccines. Now, if you put two and two together and you link your story about his background in Thessaloniki and the parents, the child of Holocaust survivors, actually born and bred in Thessaloniki, apparently still supports Aris Thessaloniki, the local football club, even though he has a home now in Chalkidiki rather than in Thessaloniki itself, but obviously based in the US these days. But he has obviously been personally involved in ensuring that Israel gets an allocation of the vaccines that Pfizer has produced. So we don't exactly know what's been going on in the background.
That's amazing.
Between the Ministry of Health in Israel and the Prime Minister himself and Albert Bourla, but we can speculate about the extent to which he's been actively involved in making sure that we today sit at the head of the list of those countries administering vaccines to the population.
That's amazing. Anthony, when I actually asked you before you went on leave, if what happens with Israelis receiving the vaccine? Do they have to pay for it, or does it come as part of Kupat Cholim?
So the answer is it comes as part of Kupat Cholim. Nobody is being asked to pay for the vaccines at all. Massive effort being put down to get these vaccinations out to as many people as possible. The over 60s have all been allowed to make their appointments, and the medical professionals the same. Vaccinations at hospitals at Kupat Cholim around the country. The military has been involved now as well in setting up stations. Lots of speculation about different ways of getting more people through the doors to vaccinate them as much as possible. Just unsolicited SMSs being sent to people who are in high-risk categories to say, your appointment is on Sunday at 10:30. Make sure you turn up. It's just really a massive effort to try and get as many people vaccinated as possible. The Prime Minister said he hopes that he will be able to get 25% of Israelis vaccinated by the end of January, which I think is a challenging but realistic target as opposed to some of the other statements that were made, which I think were a little bit more extreme. But certainly I think at this rate, if we're vaccinating 100,000 people a day, I think we could certainly achieve 2 to 2.5 million people by the end of January at this rate. So, yeah, I mean, it's just being rolled out. No questions asked. The military are rolling it out within their senior officers, within their medical staff, frontline workers, high-risk soldiers, and, of course, up and down the country, wherever you look. The word on everybody's mouth at the moment is, when are you getting vaccinated?
100%. When are you getting vaccinated?
Sunday.
That's amazing. If you can move it to Monday, maybe you can do it while you're on air with us.
I'm a little nervous about even fiddling with the date and time that they've given me, because I don't know when the next opening will be. But I promise to tell you about it. I mean, I don't think that there's much to be told. I know of people who've been vaccinated that walk in, you know, get your jab. Then they say to you, just sit here for 15 minutes. If you feel okay, you can leave. Everybody then just gets up and leaves. I haven't heard of any issues of people suffering from after effects. One person said his arm was a little bit stiff after the vaccination, but it's the usual thing that you would expect. So I don't think that there's a whole lot to talk about.
Well, except that 49-year-old, that 49-year-old man who went into anaphylactic shock. But so, out of the millions of people globally who've been vaccinated, I mean, there really is a handful of people who've had a bad reaction.
There have been one or two negative reactions that I've heard about. Not much to speak of in Israel with the number of people that are being vaccinated. The only kind of, let's say, drawback to this one is that when you get vaccinated at first, you still don't have enough antibodies to prevent you from showing symptoms of the virus should you catch it at that point. They say that over the 3-week period, which separates the first injection from the second one, you gradually build up your resistance and the antibodies against the virus. By the time you get to the second injection, which is 3 weeks later, you are pretty much there or thereabouts. So the one drawback is that, you know, you have to have a second jab rather than just have the first one and be done with it. But I think people are prepared to put up with that in return for the benefit of being vaccinated against the virus. So we don't yet see the effects. I think the big talking point will be if we get to January, February, March, and we see a significantly reduced number of people suffering from COVID-19 symptoms and you know, general greater health breaking out amongst the population, so that we can get back to some semblance of normality. I think that that's going to be the big talking point. I think the process now is just a technical one to get the injection to as many people as possible. And actually the injection itself, I think, is relatively uneventful and not a great deal to talk about.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about the delegation that arrived in Morocco yesterday, the Israeli delegation.
From Morocco. Yeah, arrived in Israel yesterday. Yeah. So I just mentioned the fact that there was due to be this Moroccan delegation to visit Israel, and they did arrive yesterday as planned. It's an interesting one because this is not one of those kind of high-level delegations where you have people standing on the tarmac. I mean, admittedly, the plane arrived and the flags were on the plane with all kinds of livery to mark the occasion. But really, it's just a small delegation of 3 people that arrived in Israel yesterday to handle logistics ahead of the reopening of the Moroccan liaison office in Tel Aviv, which has been there, albeit closed, for the last 20 years. Let's not forget that there used to be diplomatic relations between Morocco and Israel. So this is not something that's starting from scratch, that's never been in existence since the inception of the state. These are relations which are now being renewed after having been closed down 20 years ago. At that point, Morocco cut official ties with Israel. Israel also had an office in Morocco, which again was closed down when the diplomatic ties were broken off 20 years ago. But those offices were never actually given up, even though they were closed. Those offices were maintained, one in Morocco by Israel and one in Israel by the Moroccan government. And now the idea is that within 2 weeks from the day on which that a normalization announcement was made last week, so this is going to be sometime next week, those liaison offices are already going to be reopened. And so the idea was that the Moroccan delegation came to really lay the ground for the reopening of the liaison office, and hopefully also to prepare for what is expected to be a much higher level delegation to come to Israel at a date yet to be determined. Could also include King Mohammed VI of Morocco in that delegation. There is the possibility that he may well visit Israel. So, you know, at the moment, we don't know yet exactly when that will be and indeed whether the king himself will visit. But what we do know is that in the meantime, both Royal Air Maroc and El Al have announced that they will set up routes, flight routes between Casablanca and Tel Aviv. Royal Air Maroc are claiming that they will be flying 4 times a week between Casablanca and Tel Aviv, starting already sometime in January, and El Al are going to do something similar as well. So, yeah, I mean, those ties are really being developed very quickly indeed.
Anthony, when these delegations come to Israel, you know, especially from Morocco, UAE, which I'm sure has become regular as well, you know, do they get given tours of Israel? Because there's so much to see. I mean, do they take them around? Where do they take them to?
Well, I mean, as far as the Arab world is concerned, they're really only interested in visiting one place in Israel,
sure.
And that is the Temple Mount. That is for them kind of the Holy Grail, and there's been a lot of politics about the Arab delegations, tourists even, that come from the Arab Emirates to visit Jerusalem, and in particular to visit the Al-Aqsa Mosque and the Temple Mount, which is really what they want to do. And that's really what their focus is. But one shouldn't forget that even for people coming from the Arab world, whether they be official delegations or indeed just regular tourists, there is a lot for people to see. First of all, those who come here are not only coming to explore, let's say, the Arab history, but they're coming here to genuinely get a feel for Israel, to get a feel for the Jewish character of Israel, to get a feel for the technology that Israel represents. So these are people who are really trying to broaden their horizons rather than coming to make a political statement. You know, the people who are the ones who wish to make a political statement of some sort are usually those who are not coming to visit Israel. So these are people who are broadening their horizons, and they want to see everything. They want to travel to the Sea of Galilee, to the Kinneret, and they want to be in Jerusalem, and they want to see the nightlife in Tel Aviv, and they they want to see the technology that Israel has to offer. So they really want to see everything. Unfortunately, now is not the time. And of course, we're not welcoming foreign tourists at the moment due to the lockdown provisions.
Sure.
But that's really the impression that we've received from these people.
Yeah. Listen, it's very interesting. And maybe you just keep an eye out for us and keep us updated as more information comes.
There has been a lot of politics because, as we know, the Mufti of Jerusalem has decided to try and somehow distance themselves, the people who he represents, which effectively are the Arabs from the Palestinian Authority area, the Muslims, and even those living in Jerusalem. He represents them, and they feel very offended by these various peace delegations and the peace agreements that have been entered into, while at the same time there's no progress on the Palestinian-Israeli track. So these individuals are feeling very offended, and the Mufti has come out defending this offended situation by banning effectively Muslims from other countries, especially from the Gulf, from going onto the Temple Mount. And there have been even some altercations that were reported between local Palestinian Authority Muslims who have been visiting Al-Aqsa and those who come from the Gulf. They do speak a slightly different Arabic, so potentially they could be identified quite easily when people overhear them. But it's unfortunate that there is this conflict that goes on between the Muslims at the moment in terms of the visits to Jerusalem and particularly to the Temple Mount.
Right. Well, let's hope that that gets sorted out soon, you know, and that more people are allowed to make pilgrimages, whether Jews, Christians, Muslims, to the Temple Mount. Anthony Reich, that is where we leave it today. Tomorrow, can we please talk about the 20,000 people who made Aliyah this year despite coronavirus?
I would love to talk about it because I think it's an unbelievable story, quite surprising. So definitely let's talk about that.
Stunning.
And don't forget, Gal Gadot is Wonder Woman. The movie's out. She, the Israeli star, she's at the forefront of everything. And apparently the movie is breaking box office records everywhere. So do go and see Gal Gadot in Wonder Woman.
That was brought to you by the Israeli, I don't know, what do we even call it? Anthony Reich. No, by Jewish Pride, I think we can call it that. Brought to you by Jewish Pride. Have a wonderful day. Chat to you tomorrow.
Take care.
Bye-bye. That's Anthony Reich. You can catch up with Anthony. Go and check out his blog. It's called Comments from the Edge. You'll find it at commentsontheedge.com.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.